What I need you to understand, my friends, is that when we are talking about this president of Brazil, we are not talking about any president of Brazil. We are not talking about an ordinary president of Brazil. We are talking about Jair Bolsonaro. And Jair Bolsonaro is possessed by Satan! Possessed by Satan!
Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I'd like to talk about the Brazilian election, and specifically I'd like to talk about the fact that the Brazilian election, with its mutual accusations that both sides are possessed by the devil, are satanic, and represent Satan himself, is the future of elections in Western countries and has amazing parallels with what's going on in America. Basically, what's going on in Brazil is the future, not so far in the future, of what's happening in America. But before I look into that, I would like to have a word from our sponsor.
Before we start, I'd just like to say a word about our sponsor, and that is Atlas VPN. Now, here's the situation, chaps. We are all truth seekers here at the Jolly Heretic Public House. We all want to know the truth about the world, and the only way we can do that is if we get lots of different perspectives, lots of alternative perspectives. And we are in a situation where we cannot get that. The internet is censored, everything is censored, and we literally cannot get the other side with regard to certain important events that are happening in the world because of the way that they censor the internet. So the only thing to do, as far as I'm concerned, is to use a VPN. And Atlas VPN is currently running a huge discount. It means you can get a 3-month subscription for just $1.83 a month, plus 3 months for free, with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And so time is running out, so it's worth looking into, really. There's lots and lots of benefits to this. Not only is that you've got that deal, but you could unlock your favourite content from all over the world. You know, shows from friends or whatever it is you like are using Atlas VPN. You can keep your Google searches private. They make sure that your results aren't tracked and so forth. You can stop ads and malware. It's more than just a VPN. It blocks malicious links and ads and so forth. And it notifies you when someone's trying to steal your data. And you can save money online. It notifies you of the best deals. And it can protect unlimited devices. So it seems to be a jolly good idea. And as I say, they've currently got this campaign where it's just $1.83 a month. So, you know, it's worth thinking about. $1.83 a month for a 3-year subscription, plus 3 months for free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Time is running out, so, you know, it's certainly worth looking into. So as a person that is in favour of the truth and wants as much as many different perspectives as possible and is finding these blocked by our current system, I think getting a VPN is worth doing. And as far as I can see, Atlas VPN is where it's at, chaps.
Good, there we go. Right, so let's look at this election that's going on in Brazil. What you basically have is a situation that is very similar to what was happening in England at the time of the Civil War in the 1640s, which makes sense because we know that the intelligence, as we know, reached a peak due to selection pressures of harsh Darwinian selection and 50% child mortality every generation from 1000 onwards, and the mini ice age that occurred as well. Intelligence reached a peak in about 1870 based on per capita major innovation, and since then has gone down substantially, and we've probably lost something like 20 IQ points or 15 since then. The result is that what we have now is basically, intellectually speaking, the 17th century plus central heating and plus literacy. That's pretty much what we've got. 17th century plus the accoutrements of a complicated society. So we would expect to find that increasingly our discourse becomes parallels that of the 17th, of something like the 17th century, or perhaps a bit later, because of the fact that we've reached the intelligence of the 17th century. And you see this very clearly, as I said, in what's going on in Brazil, whereby both sides are mutually calling each other Satan. You have that already in America among a minority. You have a minority of Trump supporters who are proclaiming that Joe Biden is the devil himself and worships Satan and whatever. It's a part of the QAnon conspiracy theory. But what you have in Brazil is actually Lula da Silva, the triumphant presidential candidate in the recent election, openly stating that Bolsonaro is possessed by Satan, and you've had similar accusations being made by Jair Bolsonaro against Lula da Silva, because Jair Bolsonaro has massive support among evangelical Christians, among fundamentalist evangelical Christians. So let's have a look at what has happened and how we have got to this point of both sides accusing each other of worshipping the devil. What we've just had in Brazil is an election where it's basically 50-50. I mean, the winning margin is so narrow as to almost be meaningless. It's basically 50-50. And the way it's been fought out is between one side saying the other side is an evil communist who worships Satan and is ungodly and so on, and the other side saying their opponent is an evil fascist Nazi who worships Satan and so on. I'm told by my Portuguese and Brazilian correspondents that it didn't used to be like this, that if you go back to 30 years or so, just after Brazil emerged from a long period of dictatorship, then you had quite moderate parties on both sides that would take the view that the other side, well, they may be a bit misguided, they may be a bit economically naive, or they may be a bit misguided, they may be a bit too sort of socially harsh and unfeeling about the poor, but they would exchange power, and they would exchange power pretty much accepting that the other side has the good of Brazil as its motive, but we disagree on certain issues. Now, gradually, Brazil has polarised, and those two parties have either collapsed or they have gone way to the extremes, such that now you have essentially two large parties that hate each other. With very little support for the middle ground, this polarisation, two large parties that despise each other and see each side as likely to destroy their own interests and destroy everything that they want and everything that they hold dear. And indeed, there's some evidence that they may be correct to think that. So Brazil is polarising to quite an extreme degree. Now, we don't know at the moment whether there will be a free transfer of power in Brazil. Bolsonaro actually said there will be three outcomes to this election. Either I will win, I will be arrested, or I will be killed. So he was not thinking that he would accept the election result. But anyway, what has actually happened? Essentially, you have a pretty clear divide within Brazil. On the one hand, you have the northeast of the country. The northeast of the country is mainly black, or rather black with various degrees of admixture. It has third world conditions. I'm told that nobody stops at red lights in that part of the country because you'll just be crashed into, because it's just not something you do. Nobody pays attention to such things. So that's the northeast. That's the very poor part of the country. And then you have the south, the southeast. This is extremely wealthy. It's so wealthy, in fact, it's overwhelmingly white. And then there's the various mixed areas in between. Now, in those wealthy white areas, I should emphasise, are so wealthy and so overwhelmingly European, Portuguese in origin, that there's actually a negative Flynn effect in these areas. Now, you could look at my other videos on the negative Flynn effect. What you get in countries that industrialise is eventually a situation where intelligence starts to go down because of a negative association between breeding and IQ that happens for various reasons. Now, that's something that normally you only find in developed countries, but you're also finding it in that area of Brazil. So that area of Brazil is essentially European. That area of Brazil is like being in Portugal. In fact, some people have told me it's richer than Portugal. It's a very, very wealthy area. And what you also have then is people from the northeast and from other parts of the country moving into that area in search of work, and creating shanty towns, basically. And so those shanty towns are just Darwinian conditions. I mean, they're the worst possible slums in those areas in order to get work. Effectively, then, Brazil has divided along the lines of these two groups. On the one hand, you have these people in the south who are wealthy, who are wealth creators, who are responsible for all of the wealth of the nation. And then you have the poor people in the north of the country and in the shanty towns who are living in basically third world conditions and have very, very little. Now, what you have with someone like Lula da Silva, who, by the way, is white, is someone who has taken advantage of this situation for his own Machiavellian power-hungry reasons and realised, well, one way he can get power is by collaborating with these people. So the offer he gives to these people is, put me in power and I will take the wealth of the people in the south. In the south, I will argue those people are corrupt and nasty and selfish, and they don't deserve what they have. And I will take, and you do deserve it, but you're so kind and lovely that you somehow aren't corrupt enough to get it. And I will take their wealth and I will give it to you. And so that's what he's done. So he set up this welfare system called the Bolsas Fund, basically welfare. And so if you are a poor person in Brazil, then you have this welfare to fall back on. That's what Lula da Silva is offering you. He's offering to basically take the money that other people have earned and give it to you. So in a situation like that, where you have a society essentially that is multicultural, you have a society that is low trust, because we know that trust tends to be associated with people basically being genetically very similar and being the same. So you have a divided society, and what you end up with then is a perception, and one could argue it's quite a reasonable perception in a situation like that, that democracy is theft. Democracy is a way of taking your money that you've earned and giving it to other people whom you do not see as your people, whom you see as different from you, either culturally or ethnically or both, as not part of your in-group. And that's what democracy allows in countries like that. And that's why people don't like democracy. That's why democracy starts to fall apart in countries like that. And you now have supporters of Jair Bolsonaro calling on the military to intervene, calling on the military to overthrow democracy and to just take over the country by force for some greater good, for the good of Brazil. That's what happens in countries like that. Democracy dies. Democracy can only be sustained, and Tatu Vanhanen has looked at this in a very interesting book called Ethnic Conflicts. Democracy works in countries which essentially are small populations of people who are all similar to each other, and in which there are high levels of social trust, but not too high. If the level of social trust is too high, then the element of democracy that involves questioning your leaders and not believing your leaders and holding them to account falls apart. There has to be this optimum level, and that's where democracy flourishes. And he also found that the more multi-ethnic a society is, the more ethnic conflict you get, and the less likely there is to be any kind of democracy. He found a 0.66 correlation between ethnic conflict and ethnic diversity within societies. So democracy is not going to be sustained in a country like that. Now, what if we look at the two groups that are basically dealing with each other? On the one hand, you have the Bolsonaro supporters. As I said, the Bolsonaro supporters are European, overwhelmingly European, and also fundamentalist Christians, so evangelical Protestants. People think of Brazil as a Catholic country. It's decreasingly so. There is a massive evangelical Christian movement in Brazil, and it is particularly popular among whites in the South. So that's where these devil accusations therefore come from. Remember, we are selecting for religiousness. This is the case in Brazil. It's the case all over the place. People that are religious are having more children. And when you control for intelligence, people who are religious are still having more children. And the heritability of religiousness is up to 0.7, something like that. So the result of that is that a hollowing out of the middle and more polarized world where each side will see the other side as heretics. Each side will see the other side as evil. Each side will see the other side as the devil. That is what we can expect. And that is the case whether we are dealing with fundamentalist Protestants who live in the north, or presumably whether we are dealing with the people that live in the north, and these people are going to be overwhelmingly Catholic. And that's then the interesting and rather unstable constituency which Lula has. On the one hand, the Catholic Church support him because the Catholic Church doesn't like the Protestants and the Catholic Church is more popular in the north. But on the other hand, he's supported by LGBT, whatever, Western money and that Western interests, that kind of thing. So it's a rather unstable coalition. And it should be emphasised that in most of South America, this LGBT issue is not risen to prominence. It's not accepted. It's not. I was in Mexico, for example, a few months ago during Pride Month. There was no evidence that such a thing existed. But this is not the case in Brazil. In Brazil, it being having very rich areas, Brazil does have a very significant movement of this kind, a very significant woke movement of this kind in Brazil. Anyway, so those are the two groups of support. The other thing you get is that Bolsonaro does have some black support, because basically what he's offering is security. So it's money, That's what a bribe. That's what Da Silva is offering you versus safety, security, and feelings of national importance and Brazil being great again. Now, some black people, the more successful black people, presumably the more socioeconomic, or are those that live in shanty towns and they just it's chaos and they're being kidnapped and stolen from and whatever, and they want a sense of order. Some of those people, of course, do support Bolsonaro. Now, in terms of what's actually happened in the election and in terms of why it's going to be difficult to get a stable transfer of power, of course it's understood, and it's particularly understood in a low-trust society. And remember, the research by Putnam tells you, that by Robert Putnam of Harvard, tells you that what happens once you get a multicultural society is levels of social trust decrease. They decrease between the two ethnic groups. They don't trust each other. And also they decrease within an ethnic group, because the other group, the ethnic group, perceives it possible that members of their own group will collaborate with the foreign group against them for their own individualistic interests. And you could argue that Lula da Silva is an example of that. And so social trust collapses. And so you could have a society where there is corruption, in elections and high social trust. And then it kind of, it's able to be swept under the carpet and nothing is done about it. So an example of this is the 1960 election. It's now, America was corrupt then, and it's widely understood and accepted that Nixon won that election, and that JFK, via his father's contacts in one particular state, stole that election. That election was stolen and Nixon should have won. And I don't know if Nixon had a cat that interfered with his videos, but that Nixon should have won. But Nixon, when he was told about this, said, look, I don't want this getting public. America can't cope with this. And you had a high trust society as well. So he put the interests of that society above his own interests, and nothing was ever done about it. And it wasn't revealed for a very long time. That was a very close election. Now, what you, in a society that's corrupt, and of course Brazil's corrupt, obviously people are not going to trust the results of a close election, because they know there's corruption. They know there's corruption. They are corrupt themselves. They know that a certain percentage of votes are going to be fraudulent. They know there's, of course there's corruption. They are corrupt. They are doing it. So they know it's corrupt. One could say that in the 2000 presidential election in America, surely Al Gore won that election, but it was corrupt. And it was a close election. It was corrupt. I think it's reasonable to say the Republicans stole the election. But America was more trusting back then. America was less polarized. And therefore, Al Gore, he didn't say anything. He was statesmanlike. He shut up. And when an election in any society that has any possible corruption is going to be close, then it will become decreasingly trusted as we become a lower IQ society. And IQ, remember, correlates with trust, because if you have low IQ, then you're going to be cons, so you may as well trust nobody. So low IQ, low trust. And so increasingly, therefore, when it's a close election, it's going to be contested. And also because people just hate the other side. So they don't want the other side to ever be in power, because they fear that the other side will do terrible things to their side. And as we become polarised, they may well be correct about that. And so it makes sense. Both sides are corrupt. By the way, Bolsonaro, very corrupt, very nepotistic. He's put his sons in positions of power and things like this. Lula da Silva, very corrupt. His son, who is a zookeeper, so presumably doesn't have a very high salary, but somehow he has this luxury apartment and things like this. Lula da Silva has served time in prison for corruption. Okay, it was overturned, but it was only overturned because it was argued that the judiciary were corrupt and were too right-wing. And were the judiciary corrupt? I don't know. I mean, that itself could have been argued by a left-wing judge who was himself corrupt. So you can never know. So what you're going to get in a society of corruption, if there is a close election, is the other side contesting it. And that's what you get. Now, how is this going to, how does this influence America? Well, Brazil is basically slightly further down the road from America. Brazil is essentially in a situation that America will be in a few decades from now, where the whites are a minority and there's mixed people and other groups. And so, of course, it's the same thing. What you would expect as IQ goes down is that both sides will become QAnon-like. It won't just be that you have a minority within the Republicans that are saying the other side is the devil. It's the leader, the leader of the party. The candidate will say the other side is the devil. And the candidate of the other party will say the other side is the devil. And if the election is close, then of course, the only reason why the other side could have won will be corruption, because both sides will be corrupt and both sides will be trying to rig the election in their favour. I mean, if, for example, the Republicans win the next election in America, the Democrats will be able to reasonably say, look, you've been appointing QAnon supporters and whatever, as the secretary, let's say in Arizona, the Secretary of State of Arizona, the person that oversees whether elections are fair or not in Arizona, will be a fervent supporter of Donald Trump, who believes the previous election was stolen. Even if it was, it's not relevant. The point is that he fervently believes it is. He's a fervent supporter of Donald Trump. He's, of course, biased. Now, that was the case in 2000 with the person that was the Secretary of State of Florida. She was a Republican and she was a supporter of George W. Bush. But in those days, people were less paranoid. People were more prepared to give the other side the benefit of the doubt. People were less loathing of the other side. And so you were able to kind of get away with this. And it was assumed, oh, well, that person, OK, yeah, she's a supporter of Bush, but surely she's acting in good faith. Surely this is so important, she wouldn't be corrupt. Once intelligence goes down, once polarisation goes up, then no, that's no longer the case. You become more paranoid, perhaps rightly, but you become more paranoid and you assume the other side is not acting in good faith and is corrupt. And that means that when there is a close result, you will never have a peaceful transfer of power. There cannot be a close result. But there will never be anything other than a close result. Because if society is increasingly polarised, what polarisation means is basically two sides. So there will always be close results. And that is when democracy dies off. And so what Brazil is telling us, really, is that you're going to get in America and other countries as well, a rise in basically a kind of a theocracy almost, where both sides are accusing the other side of being Satan, where elections will always be contested, where eventually democracy collapses and perhaps the country breaks up. Perhaps that's the next step with Brazil, that the south of the country, the rich bit, just decide we don't want anything to do with the rest of the country. We'll have to see. So let's see how this pans out, folks.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke, joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you can also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!